holding on. Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis by the Mishnah. Continuing on this topic of halal b'chutz and specifically on zrika, the Mishnah says chatas shekivul dama b'kois echad. If the kohen received the blood of a chatas in one cup, and generally it doesn't mean a cup particularly, it means a mizrak, but as we've had in various places in our Masechta, it often uses the word kois to refer to when we want to refer to different containers in which the blood ended up, then we speak of different koises. So here, he received it to be, here the first case is he received it all b'kois echad, all in one cup, in one container, nosin b'chutz v'chozav nosin b'fnim, and then he did some of the matanos of the blood outside the azara, and then the rest of them he did inside. B'fnim v'chozav nosin b'chutz, so the other way around, he did them inside the azara, and then did the rest of them outside. Now Rashi points out if he did the ones outside and then he did them inside, then there's no need to mention it because the fact that he did it outside, we're going to ignore that. I mean, not we're going to ignore that. He's going to be chayav for it, but it doesn't pass all the korban. So let's see. I mean, if he took the blood outside, the blood does become possible, but then when he brings it back in, then it is roi lava b'fnim, in the sense that if he b'dieved, if he puts it on the mizbeach, it is kosher. But actually, we're going to see, Rashi is going to point out that it's more, we're focusing on that blood is considered shirayim, but as we learned yesterday, according to Reb Nechemya, he is chayev even for shirayim. So if he did it either way, chayev, then he's either way he's chayev, shekulei roi b'fnim, because all that blood would have been roi to come inside the azara, because it could have been, All of it could have been offered outside. All of it could have been offered in the azara. So in other words, the point is, the chiddush is, even when he did it b'fnim first, and the rest of it now becomes shirayim, nevertheless, we've learned, as Reb Nechemya says, that he is in fact chayev for shirayim as well, as we learned in the previous Mishnah and in the Gemara on it. On the other hand, continues the Mishnah, kibul doma b'shtei koses, what if he received the blood in two different cups, in two different containers? Nosin b'shnei and b'fnim potter. Now, if he did them both b'fnim, then he's potter. Well, again, there's no chiddush in that. Of course, he has to do them both inside, but we're only using that as an introduction to that. We're only using that as an introduction to the next case. Shnei and b'chutz chayev, if he would have done them both outside the Azara, then he's chayev. And when we say chayev, we mean that he's chayev one chatas for the both of them. As long as it was all behelam echad in one period of not knowing, then he's chayev only one chatas. Of course, if he did one sprinkling, and then he remembered that he wasn't supposed to do that, and then forgot again, and did another one, of course, he's going to be chayev two chatas, but that's the usual rule of shnei helemus. But here, the point is, in other words, we don't say that it's automatically considered two things because it was two separate containers. No, it's all in one container. And it's all, the fact that it's in different containers, in different cups, doesn't matter, and it's still all one chatas. Echad b'fnim ve'echad b'chutz. If he did one inside the azara and then did the second one outside, then he'd be potter because what happens is, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, once he sprinkles from one cup, then all the blood in the other, and once he does all the proper sprinklings from one, then the cup and then the blood in the other cup is dochui. It's completely pushed off. It's not even shirayim. So even Reb Nechemya would not be mechayev him for that. So echad b'chutz ve'echad b'fnim. On the other hand, if he did one of them outside and then he did the other one inside, chayev alachitzin, he'll be chayev for the one he did on the outside, v'apnimi mechaper, but the one that he did inside will actually be mechaper. The korban will be kosher because now some of the blood remained inside and was never taken outside to become posel. So therefore, so d'zom tehek, he goes and sprinkles it on the mizbeach and we're all good. Now, in the previous case, when he had only one cup, Sfasemis points out, you know, if he did outside and then he did inside, he's chayev for what's outside, but what he did b'fnim, the fact is that the blood was already possible because it was all taken outside. But here, in our case, over here, where he did one cup outside and then he did the other one inside, then in fact he's able to be mechaper. Then the one that never went out does in fact make the korban kosher as well. So Sfasema says, even in the Reisha, if let's say, for example, he first received it in one kois, but then he spilled some of that into a second kois and kept that inside the Azara, then yes, he'd be able to be Makaper with that as well. The fact that it was transferred from one kois to another wouldn't make a difference. And the Mishnah says, Lamaha Dabba Dharma, what can we compare this to when we have that the person is, we're saying the person is Chayev, but nevertheless he's still able to be make the Korban Kosher. We can draw an analogy, the Mafish Chatoseva Avda. We're going to see in the Gemara what exactly the point of this analogy is, but Lamafish Chatoseva Avda, a person designated an animal for a Chatos, and then he lost it. Vehipush Acheres Tachteo, and he designated another one to replace it. Then he found the first one, and now both of them are standing in front of him, where now the din is that he can be makriv either one. Had he been makriv the second one, and then the first one turned up, then that would be one of the chatois hamesis. That would be one of the cases, as we'll learn about, when we get to it a year or so from now, that's one of the cases of chatois hamesis, where it has to be left to die. But here we're talking about that he hasn't shechted either one yet, both of them are available to him, so then you have the same kind of thing. Shochat shtein b'fnim, if he were to shecht both of them inside the Azara, potter, then he's potter. One of them was not supposed to have been shechted, because once he shechts one, the other one is cholin b'azara, but he's potter for he's potter for shchote chutz, because there was no chutz, obviously, he did them both b'fnim. So if he did them both b'fnim, then he's potter from Koreis Urachatas. Shtei in b'chutz, but on the other hand, if he did both of them outside, chayev, then he's going to be chayev, because either one would have been roi lover b'fnim. Whichever one he shechted could have been the one. That was the korban. Achas b'fnim v'achas b'chutz, if he shechted one in the Azara and the other one outside potter, then he's also potter, because at that point, the second, having shechted the first one, the second one is a chatas, is one of the chatoris hamesis. So it's no longer roi lover. It's no longer suitable to be brought as a korban inside the Beis Hamikdash. Therefore, now if he shechts it outside the Beis Hamikdash, then he's potter. Achas v'chutz v'achas b'fnim. And then if he were to shecht one outside and one and the other one inside, then we have the same kind of thing as with the cups of blood. Chayev al chitzona, he's going to be chayev for the one he did outside the Azara, because that one would have been roi lova b'fnim, but then he does the other one, v'apnim is mechaperes, the one that he did inside is mechaper, it's a good, perfectly good korban chatas. The fact that he shechted the other one doesn't prevent this one from working as a chatas. So we see kashem shadama poiteres psara. So we see that just as the blood and what we have is also what if we're going back to the case where he shechted both of them inside the azara. Kashem shadama poiteres psara. What happens is the blood of the chatas that he shechted patters the other one. But patters it itself, it patters its own flesh. Meaning, in other words, at that point, now the dam has been validly sprinkled of that carbon. You have two animals over here. A, the original one, and B, the replacement. When he shechts A, what happens with B is at this point of no consequence to A. He sprinkled animal A's blood, and at that point, then the flesh, the meat of animal A is mutter to the kohenim, because that's how it always works. And it means, in particular, it's not mutter to the kohenim yet until they offer the emorim, but it's potter from ne'ilah is the point. That's at this point, ne'ilah will no longer apply to that korban, because now at this point it starts becoming mutter to the kohenim. So kachi poteres ipsar chavata, the same way, it has the same effect. On the flesh of the other korban of animal B, even though animal B is possible because it's being once the first one was shechted, the second one becomes a chatas amesa. Nevertheless, the shechting of A takes B out of the status of me'ila. The rule with those, Rashi explains, loy nen and loy moylin. When it comes to the chatoris amesis, you're not allowed to have hanah from them, but me'ila will no longer apply to them. So it's not a matter of shchote chutz anymore. The point is, in other words, that we're mentioning this point. In other words, the Gemara is going to explain what exactly this illustrates about the matter of the kosis. But in other words, the point is that we can have perfectly well that one of them is kosher and the other one is posel, and nevertheless one has a certain effect on the other. So Tosfos actually doesn't like that explanation of Rashi, that it's because of the idea, that he was mechaper with one, and now therefore Me'ilah doesn't apply to the other one. Tosfos rather explains that the vote in the Mishnah is that the reason why if there would be a difference, the Gemara tells us in Me'ilah, whether he shechted them both at the same time or one after the other. What we'd be talking about over here actually would be where he shechted both of them at the same time, and therefore one of them can pass through the other from Me'ilah. In fact, if he were to do one and then afterwards do the other, we would rather say if it was shechted before, if the second one was shechted before the first one's blood was sprinkled, it wouldn't be considered a chatas hamesa, only if it was shechted afterwards. So Tosfos draws that distinction. Okay, in any case, the point is, returning to the subject of our Mishnah, that when you have the two kosis over here, the one can affect the other, or it cannot, depending which one was done before. So then we're saying, if one of them was done bifnim, then the other one that's done b'chutz after that is not even considered blood of the korban anymore, because at that point it's not even shirayim, and therefore he's potter. Whereas the other way around, he did one b'chutz and one bifnim, then he's chayev for halah b'chutz, for sprinkling the blood outside, but nevertheless the korban will be kosher by virtue of the one he did inside. So the Gemara takes up the point. Bishleima b'chutz v'chazer b'nasim b'fneim. I can understand when he did it outside the Azara, and then he went and did it again inside his chayev shekolo roib luyas b'fneim, because all of that blood could have been offered inside. Before he started anything, all that blood would have been roy to do b'fneim, and now he took it outside, and now therefore he's chayev for shchutei chutz. Okay, as we pointed out, as the Sfasem has pointed out, taking it out of the Azara anyway passels it, but we learned at the beginning of the Perek that the taking it out in and of itself, even though it does passel it, still doesn't prevent him from being chayev, so fine, we understand that point. Avol b'fneim v'helon, but if he first did on the inside and then did on the outside, shirayim ninu, isn't what he did on the outside only shirayim, and why should he be chayev for what was sprinkled outside? Now this is the gusa we have in front of us in the Gemara. Shittim kubetzis brings a different gusa, which is that the question rather is that if he did it inside and then he went and did another and then did more applications outside, then the question is shirayim ninhu, wouldn't they be shirayim? Tosfos brings a point that actually the Gemara could have explained, that let's say for example we could say that he did only one matana on one canon of the mizbeach. And then he did the other three outside. He's going to be chayev b'chutz, because it's true the three are not ma'akev, as we learned way back in Arma Sefta. This Hillel holds, and halachas like them, that you only need one matana by chatas to be yotze b'dieved, by chatas chetzona to be yotze b'dieved. Nevertheless, they are roi litin b'fnim. They would have been roi to go on the inside. So the Gemara could have given that answer. The Gemara assumes for purposes of the question that we're talking about that what he did outside is purely shirayim, because he did all four of them inside, and now all that's left is to pour the shirayim on the yisoid. And because the Gemara is assuming the same way as in the case where we have the two cups, where in order for him to not be chayev on the second cup b'chutz, necessarily it has to be he did all the matanis inside already, all four matanis. Otherwise, if he does only one or two or three of them, then he would be chayev for the other one, because again, the other one could have been used for the remaining matanis inside. So necessarily, in the sefer of the Mishnah, when we're talking about two cups, we have to be talking about he did with the first one all of them. Therefore, the Gemara assumes at the beginning of the Mishnah also we're talking about that he did all of them, and all that's left to do is the pouring of the shirayim. So the question is, why is he chayev for that? And the answer is Amri. Shittim Kobetzis also adds the word Amri. So the Bnei Yeshiva answered Homani Rav Nechemiah. Fine, our Mishnah would go like Rav Nechemiah, the Omer, where we learned in the previous Mishnah, Shiri Adam Shekruvim Bachutz Chayev. the remainder of the blood, if he offered it outside, then he's chayev. Again, as we discussed yesterday, is Reb Nechemia in fact referring both to Chatoris HaPnimius and Chatoris HaChitzonius, so is he only referring to Chatoris HaPnimius? We talked about that yesterday. Tosfos discusses that point at great length later, earlier in the Masechta. And there are a couple of different ways of explaining whether, in fact, Reb Nechemia holds his din by all Chatoris or only by Chatoris HaPnimius. In any case, the point is that so we could say that our Mishnah goes like Reb Nechemia, where there are where Shirayim some where he can be chayav for Shirayim outside. But the Gemara says, "E Reb Nechemia, if you're going to tell me our Mishnah is like Reb Nechemia, Ema Sefer, then look at the Sefer of the Mishnah where it continues Kibbol Dama Mishnei Kosis. If you receive the blood in two different kosis, two different basins, Nasan Shneim Befnim Potter. If he does them both Befnim, he's Potter. Obviously, we said there's no Chiddush in that. Shneim Bachotz Chayev. But if he does them both Bachotz, then he's Chayev because either one was Roy Lover Befnim. Echad Befnim VeEchad Bachotz Potter. And if he does one inside and the other one outside, then he's Potter. Now according to Reb Nechemia, Va'am Reb Nechemia Shira Adam Shekriven Bachotz Chayev. Now according to Reb Nechemia, he should be chayav for Shirei Adam. Why shouldn't he be chayav for that second kos? Wouldn't that exactly be Shirayim? And the answer is Sefer Asor Matanakama did a Belozer Reb Shimon, because the Sefer of our Mishnah were actually following not Reb Nechemia, but rather the Tanakama against Reb Belozer Reb Shimon, as we're going to as we learned earlier in the Masechta, De Omar, where he says Kois Oisa Dichui Lechaveroi, one cup, if the Matonis were done from it, makes the other one Dochui, makes the other one pushed away and no longer available to be done for to be used for the Korban. This is the Girsa that we have here. Again, there's a different Girsa on the side. Amri, the Girsa on the side from Shittim Kubetzes and a number of the other Achronim, and Rashi actually has so similarly. Amri, the Bnei Yeshiva answered, Man Tana de Polagaleder of Belozer Reb Shimon. You should know which Tana is it that argues for Belozer Reb Shimon, and says that the fact that the Matonis were done from one cup automatically makes the other one Dichui. Reb Nechemiah, in fact, that opinion would be none other than Reb Nechemia. So in other words, according to that answer, the answer is that the Mishnah is that in other words, like this. Earlier in the Masechta, we talked about when you have a case like this, you have multiple kosis that the blood was received in. Now, let's say he did all the matones, all four matones of the chatos, he did only from one kos. Now, what happens is, what happens with the rest of the cups? So we learned earlier in the Masechta that we had the Tanakama of a Braita had said that once you did all the matonis from one, then all the other ones become dochri, all the other ones become pushed off. They're no longer available to be used for the korban because at this point none of them were used for the actual sprinklings of the korban, and therefore what's left is considered useless. And you just pour it into the ama, you just pour it into the water channel in the azara. Whereas Rabbi Elazar of Shimon held that no, what happens is the matonis, having been done from one cup, the rest of them are considered shirayim, and they do have to be poured onto the aside. So now, what we can say is Reb Nechemia argues with Reb Elazar Reb Shimon and holds that if it was all from one kos, the other one becomes Shirayim. So therefore, yes, our Mishnah is indeed like Reb Nechemia. Why does our Mishnah say that if he did from one cup, then the second one is not considered Shirayim and he's Potter? Because even Reb Nechemia would agree that in that Reb Nechemia holds like the Tanakama against Reb Elazar Reb Shimon and holds that in that case the blood in the second cup is not considered Shirayim at all, and therefore we're good. So therefore he's potter for it, as opposed to when it was all in one cup, or had he done any matonis from this cup, then Reb Nechemia would call it shirayim, and again he would say that he's chayev for offering it outside the azara, again subject to what we discussed before, of whether Reb Nechemia's din applies across the board, or only chatoris apnimius. But in any case, the point is that we would say that Ben Reb Nechemia would be mechayev him for the second cup, but not in our case because there were two different cups and all the matonis were done befnim from one, and even Reb Nechemia, only Reb Elazar Reb Shimon would hold then that the rest of it is still considered shirayim. But fine, Reb Elazar Reb Shimon doesn't necessarily have to hold that he'd be chayev for shirayim outside. Only Reb Nechemia holds that, and the result would be that in practice nobody would hold he's chayev. Reb Nechemia no, because it's not shirayim. Reb Elazar Reb Shimon may well also hold no, because he holds your potter for shirayim anyway. So that explains our Mishnah, and in fact, it means that our Mishnah completely goes according to Reb Nechemya. Again, since the halacha, and the actual halacha, is not like Reb Nechemya, then the result might be that the result might be that in that case he would be potter because it's only shirayim. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, L'maha Dabba Doima, what is this thing comparable to? We said, L'mafesh Chatasev Abda, a person designated an animal for a chatas, and he designated a different animal as the carbon, and then the first one turned up, and we gave all the scenarios. If he checks them both inside, one outside, etc. And we said there can be a case where he's chayav for shchutei chutz, for checking one of them outside, even though he's then the scapper with the one that he checks inside, because that one is perfectly good. So the Gemara says, why do we need this analogy anyway? What are we learning from this analogy that we wouldn't have otherwise understood? And the answer is, Hamani Rebihi. The answer is that our Mishnah is going according to Rebbe, the Omer Avuda B'Shas HaFrosha Mesa. Rebbe says that when you had the, now like this, we talk about this whole matter of Chatoris HaMesis, and one of the cases of Chatoris HaMesis is Chatos Sheniskap Ruvalbeha, where the owner had his kapara with a different animal. So again, he had designated animal A, it was lost, he was Niskaper, he took animal B instead, Shechted as a Chatos, was Niskaper, and then the first one turned up. Now, Rebbe holds Avuda B'Shas HaFrosha Mesa. Now, what would happen if it was lost when he, now everybody holds that if the second one turned up only after he was in Scapa with the first one, then it goes Lamisa. What about if we find it before the second one? So it was only Avuda when he designated the second one. Now, the Chachamim hold, that's fine. You don't, neither one has to be a Chatas HaMesa. You're all for one of them. The second one is not the Chatas HaMesa. You can't use it as a Chatas anymore, so you leave it to graze until it develops a mum, etc. Rebbe holds that the fact is it was lost when the second one was designated, therefore it's lemisa. Therefore, as soon as we shecht the one of them, then the other one becomes a chakas shekipur ba'alaha. So our Mishnah would be going according to that opinion, as long as the original one was lost when he designated the second one, then the shechting of one of them is going to cause the other one to be a chakas shekipur ba'alaha, and it's going to have to go lemisa. The Hochet Kama, so therefore the Tana of our Mishnah means as follows. He wants to tell us the following Chiddush. Taima de Ovda. Tosfos actually points out, if you compare with the Gemara and Tumura, you'll find that actually what we're discussing over here is not necessarily according to Rebbe, it can be according to the Chachamim as well. So why does it attribute this opinion specifically to Rebbe? Okay, you could say because Rebbe more explicitly talks about it, but whatever. Anyway, our Mishnah would be saying as follows: Taima de Ovda. The reason why we're saying that if he shechted one and then shechted the other one, bachutz, then he's going to be potter, because once he shechted the first one, the second one becomes a chatas hamesa. That would be only because Taima de Ovda, only because the original one was lost. Only because it was lost. But we can infer from that, if to begin with he designated two chatois for achrayus, he designated a second one as backup. Then, and now, if he shechts one of them, then really one of them is, it's not even that one of them was going to be a chatas, and the other, it's not even that both of them were going to be a chatas. Really, in that sense, both, in effect, one of them was to begin with, in effect, going to be an oila, because we knew to begin with that only one of them is going to be a chatas, and the other one is going to have to be wait until we develop a mum and sell it and use the money to buy an oila. So therefore, because that's what's going to happen. The second one, as soon as it has a mum, it's not going to be a chatas hamesa. It's going to be sold and used to buy an oila. So the din of our Mishnah would not apply. So then the din of our Mishnah would not apply to that. when we're saying in our Mishnah that if he shechts one of them, that if he shechts one of them inside the Azara, and then he shechts the other one outside, which we're comparing it to the second cup of blood, that would only be, again, following Rebbe's opinion, that the second one is going to Misa anyway, and therefore it's not Roy Lava Bifnim. But if it had been both of them Lachrayus, even Rebbe would agree that one of them he has the Kapara, and the other one goes to an Oila. Really, actually, Rashi points out also that this is really according to the Rabbanan as well. The Rabbanan would also against the Rabbanan against Rebbe. They hold Bechlal that it's only a Chatzas HaMesa only if the second one turned up after he offered the first one. So then also so in that case we would not say that if he said that if he shechted the second one outside he's Potter. It can't be brought as an Oila. The fact is, as the Gemara is going to go on to say now, b'diyeved, if we were to bring that animal itself as an Ola, it would have been a valid korban, therefore it's Roy Lover Bifnim. That's the point of our Mishnah, is to draw that distinction between, that's the point of the analogy with the Chatois, is to point out, is to highlight that difference between whether we're talking about a Chatos that was lost and then found, or whether we're talking about two Chatois l'achrayis. Where two chatars lachrayus, in fact, he would be chayav for the second one, because as the Gemara is going to point out, b'diyeved, if he had offered the second one as an ola, it would have actually been a valid korban. So again, Tosfos points out that in that case, then why is the Gemara saying specifically like Rebbe, it would come out like the Chachamim as well. So the Chayit Nachman points out that it's only a little bit of a difficulty because it comes out to points of Rebbe and the Chacham, and there'd be a difference whether he asked based in what to do or not. So there's a slight difference over there as far as whether he should have done this or not. But nevertheless, what happens if he brings the second one as a korban or not. But nevertheless, it's still the same basic idea that therefore he can be chayav for the second one because it was Roy Lover Flim. In which case, this din that we're saying over here follows what Rav Huna says in the name of Rav. The Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, Osham Shenitzak L'Ri'ya. When it comes to an Osham, which has been pulled away from its original status as an Osham and sent off to graze. Now, the reason we mention an Osham is because this rule that we're saying about Chatoris HaMesis never applies to an Osham. There's never a case where an Osham has to be left the Misa. In any case, where with a chatas it would have been lamissa, then the parallel case with an osham instead goes to graze. So now, if you have it, was supposed to go to re'iyah to graze. This shachta is sam, and then he shechted it without specifying what kind of korban it is. So then, kosher la'ola, then it's kosher as a korban ola, because to begin with, the idea would have been that the value of it was supposed to go to bring an ola, and therefore here b'diyeved he shechted it, then it becomes an ola. We learned earlier in our Masechta, it comes up in different places in Shas. What exactly does it mean? Shenitak l'ri'ya? Does it mean Bastin told him to Rashi over here says it means that Bastin told him to send it off for grazing. Earlier in the Masechta, Rashi had discussed that it can mean that he physically gave it over to the shepherd. So, and also, does he need minatora? Does he need to actually be oiko? Does he need to take away the name of Osham? Is it considered that by handing it over to graze, he's taken away the name of Osham from it? Or Tosfos discussed that you don't even need to do that, that just automatically giving it to the Roya or whatever automatically takes off the name Osham. In any case, the point is that so now he shechted it, then it becomes an oila, kosher oila. So again, now if he were to do, in this case of achrayus, where everybody agrees that it's not a chatas hamesa, so now if he were to take the second one and shecht it outside, after having shechted the first one bifnim, he would in fact be chayev on the second one because it could have been brought as an oila. The fact that it was generally supposed to be left to graze until the money used for an oila doesn't change the fact. It itself could have been brought in an oila, but he had it, and therefore he can be chayev for shechting it outside. The Gemara says, "Mi dami, how are you comparing the two cases? Hosham Osham Zachar, the Ola Zachar. The difference is, in the case of an Osham, an Osham is always a male animal, and Ola is also a male animal. So therefore, the very same animal that could have been used for an Osham instead is now being used for an Ola. Avo Chatas Mekevi. Isn't a Chatas a female animal? So how could, so there's no possible way that this animal itself could ever have been brought as an Ola. So how can we talk about that it should be, that it should be chayav for shechting it b'chutz because it could have been an oila? It wouldn't have been an oila necessarily. The only thing that could have been done would have been to use the money of it for an oila. And the answer is Amar Rav Chiya Miustinia b'soyer nasi. The answer is that the Mishnah, the answer is our Mishnah is talking about, the analogy in our Mishnah is specifically talking about a king's store where he set aside two for achrayos, he set aside two, where he had done an aveda, he has to bring a korban, and he as the king, his korban is a male animal rather than a female, and now he set aside a second one for achrayos, then we would have the din of our Mishnah that the second one doesn't have to be, that if it was lachrayos, the second one not only is not a chatas amesa, it would never be, but not only that, but it itself could conceivably be brought as an Ola. Rav Huna's din about an Osham could apply to this as well, and therefore, since it could have been brought as an Ola, then he is chayav for shechting it outside the Azara. Tosfos points out an opinion of Rav Shimon, who holds that in that case, then anyway it wouldn't be a chatas amesa because he holds the whole concept of chatas amesa applies only to females. But in any case, obviously our Mishnah is not like Rav Shimon. Okay, hadran alocha shochet v'amala. The last perek of our Mishnah is going to continue. The last perek of our Masechta is going to continue and finish off these dinim of shchutei chutz, and also we're going to discuss what kinds of animals the din of shchutei chutz and halal b'chutz applies to and doesn't apply to, and go through the history of when bomas were mutter and when they were not, and talk about when it, and talk about the dinim of what can and can't be brought on a bama ktana versus a bama gdola. We have to remember the definitions. We call it the Mishkan when the and was with it, which is during the 40 years in the desert, 39 years, whatever, and during the 369 years of Mishkan Shiloh, as we're going to discuss, we call the same Mishkan the Bama Gdola during the period, the 14 years after when they were conquering and dividing out Israel, and the Mishkan was in Gilgal, then the 57 years that it was in Nov and Giv'on after Shiloh was destroyed, we call the Mizbeach and the Mishkan the Bama Gdola, meaning that it has the status of a bummer. It's just a national bummer rather than a private one, because the Oren wasn't there. Mind you, by the way, the Novi Yechezkel criticizes the whole concept of bummers, and he says that like Hashem says, like bummer, like what's the point of even having it? You're supposed to have korbanos in one central place. But nevertheless, as we're going to learn in our parak, there were historical times when such things were usher, when such things were mutter. What Hashem is criticizing is the fact that people were still addicted to this kind of thing even during the time when bummers are usher, and very often it would spill over into Avodah Zarah. Many of those bummers that they where they offered korbanos outside the Beis Mikdash, they'd end up also getting involved in actual Avodah Zarah in those places as well, whereas if they'd gone to the Beis Mikdash, they would have forestalled all of that. Okay. So the Mishnah says, Poras Chatas, the Pora Aduma, if he burnt it, or for that matter, shechted it outside of Gita. Now you have like this, Rashi actually says the Gita should be Sheshachta, what do we care? We burnt it. The point is that he, if he shechted it outside of that area, it's not considered shchutei chutz. So Tosfos says that it's really both. I mean, the purpose of the gas, gas literally means a wine press. So what it means is they would have a cavity in the ground inside which there was a shallow cavity in the ground inside which they would place the pot aduma, and that's where they would shecht it, and that's where they would burn it. But Pashtus, they did that so that the ashes don't scatter all over the place. The point is that the chiddush of our Mishnah is that whether you shechted it or whether you burnt it outside that gas, there's no issue of shchutei chutz because the fact that a specific spot was designated for it doesn't mean that a person is chayev for shechting it or burning it elsewhere. So again, according to Rashi, specifically we're focusing on the shchita. According to Tosfos, it's really the whole purpose of the gas is primarily for for the sake of the burning, so therefore the Gyusa can in fact be Shesofa. And the point there, the Tiferes Yisrael actually makes a point. The Mishnah also wants to tell us, even if the Shechita was done in the right place, opposite the Heichel, on Harazesim, opposite the Heichel, as it was supposed to be, but then he took it someplace else and burnt it, then he'll still be Potter. If he shechted it in the wrong place, of course he's going to be Potter, because then it's a Potter, a Paradoma. Anyway, so if he does that, then he's potter, because it's not roi lovei b'fnim, because the paraduma was not meant to begin with to be offered inside the azara. The Alter Rebbe talks about in Tanya and in Geres Chavches, there was a letter that he wrote to Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditchever, his mechutan. Rav Levi lost one of his children, and a mayor passed away, and the Alter Rebbe wrote him a letter of consolation, and the Alter Rebbe discusses over there the deeper implication of why it is that the Paraduma uniquely is shechted outside the Azara, and in fact outside the Yerushalayim altogether, because it has to transcend the whole concept of Korbanos, because it has to be Matayim or Tumas Nes, which is a very severe kind of Tumah, and the Alter Rebbe goes and explains it in Kabbalistic letters there. So if he shechted burnt the Paraduma outside of its place, then he's Potter. V'chein Sura Meshkalayach, and the same way the Sura Lazozo, Shehikri Bachutz, if he were to offer it outside of the, if he were to shecht it or offer it outside the Azara, instead of taking it to the cliff and throwing it off like he's supposed to. So Potter, then in those cases he's Potter, and there's no Isser of Shchote Chutz or Halah Bachutz, because these things were not roy lover b'fnim, because they weren't meant to be brought inside the Azara in the first place, because again they don't belong in the Azara, they belong respectively on Harazesim or on the cliff. So therefore he's Potter. So Rashi explains, in other words, we don't say shecht and kodshim outside it, where it's not the proper place of a mitzvah, because the Torah is telling us only when it's Pesach Oyomoyin. So the Mishnah continues, Shenema, as the Pasuk says about Pesach Oyomoyin lo yaviyo, the reason he's chayev is because he didn't bring it to the door of the Oyomoyin, from which we learn, kol she'en roi lovei al Pesach Oyomoyin, whenever it's not suitable to come to Pesach Oyomoyin, these animals were not meant to be offered in the Oyomoyed, in Chayav and Olav, then he's not Chayav for it. In the case of the Parah Adumah, it's fairly straightforward. In the case of the Surah Zazel, the Gemara is going to ask that after all it could have conceivably been the Surah Shem, and the Gemara will end up explaining that we're talking about after the girdle was done and it was established to be the Surah Zazel. The Mishnah continues, Harevei of Anuba, an animal that was used for bestiality, as the active or the passive partner, Vamukta, or an animal that was designated for offering to Avodah Zarah. Vanevad, or an animal that was actually worshipped as Avodah Zarah, which, as we're going to go through all this list, we've learned this list earlier in the Masechta as well, where we said that such korbanos are completely possible. They're not even in Olo Yered. They're not even, if we put them on the Mizbeach, we don't even take them off, because it's not Psula Bakodesh. And we learned earlier on our Masechta that they're completely out of the running for korbanos. So all of these va'amechir, where a person exchanged the animal for a dog, and the Torah tells us that it's not to be brought as a korban va'esnan, or where it was used as the fee for a zoyna, and it also can't be brought as a korban va'kilayim, or an animal that's kilayim of two different species, even though they're both kosher species, nevertheless it's possible for a korban. Batrefa, an animal that has a trefa, one or another kind of injury or condition that it won't live very long. The yotzedofen, or was born by C-section, and it's also possible for a korban. It's also possible for a korban. We've learned all these before in the Masechta. Shekriven machutz, all of these things. If he designated them as a korban and then shechted them outside potter, then it'll be potter shenema, because the pasuk says lifnei mishkan Hashem, that they were to be brought before the mishkan of Hashem. From which we learn again, kol she'ein roi lovei lifnei mishkan Hashem, whenever it's not suitable to come before the mishkan of Hashem, ein chayav and olav, that a person is not chayav for offering it outside, because they're so possible that they're completely unavailable for a korban. Now the Gemara is going to ask why we need the separate words lifnei mishkan Hashem. We already have Pesach Oyomoyed, so why do we need to have another? Why do we need to have another phrase in the pasuk to be memayit these? We'll see eventually in the Gemara. The Mishnah continues, Bale Mumin, on the other hand, when the Korban is a Baal, now, when the Korban is a Baal Mumin, Bein Bale Mumin Kvoin, Bein Bale Mumin Oirin, whether it has a permanent Mum or a temporary Mum, she Kruvim Bachutz, those, if he offers them outside the Azara, Potter, then he's also Potter, because again, they're not royal over with him, because they're Bale Mumin, Reb Shimon Omer, Bale Mumin Kvoin Potter, Reb Shimon says, if they have a permanent Mum, then sure, he's Potter. But, Bale Mumin Oivrin, but if they have a temporary Mum, says Reb Shimon, Chayev Beloy says there, then he's Chayev, goes back, changes it to Over Beloy says there, then he's violating a Loy says there, because it would have been Roy Lover Bifnim after a while when it's healed of its Mum. Okay. Continues the Mishnah. Totem Shleigias Manon. When you have now you have only two types of birds that are kosher for a korban. Totem of Neyona, turtle doves and regular doves. So Totem Shleigias Manon. When you have turtle doves whose time has not come yet, we'll learn in Chulin Bez Hashem that. Really, we touched on an earlier in our Masechta as well. The totem have to be mature in order to be brought as a korban. Because the word totem implies that they're mature, otherwise it would have called them bnei totem. On the other hand, when the totem mentions doves, common doves, it says bnei yona, from which we learn that it has to be dafka, juvenile doves. So totem shleih giyazman, and when it comes to turtle doves, whose time has not come yet, they're still immature, of bnei yona she'ovas manon, or bnei yona, which are supposed to be brought dafka when they're young she'ovas manon, and now that time passed and they're mature she'ikrivim machutz, if he offered them outside potter, then again he's potter because they're not roy lover b'fnim. And again, Reb Shimon disagrees. Reb Shimon Omer bnei yona she'ovas manon potter. Yes, if it was bnei yona whose time has passed, they're potter because they're never going to be kosher again. The totem shleigias manon, but when it comes to totem that are immature, beloy says that, then beloy says that, then he's over on a loy says that for the same reason as with the bali woman over him, because Reb Shimon points out, after all, it will soon be roy lover b'fnim. Similarly, oseves b'noi, similarly when it comes to, if he shechted an animal of kodshim, and then later that same day he shechts its mother or its baby outside the azara, well, actually it doesn't really matter whether the first one was kodshim or not. The din of oisiv es b'noi, we'll learn extensively about it in Cholin later this year, b'ez Hashem, even though the pasuk phrases it in the masculine, oisiv es b'noi, him and his son. In fact, we're going to learn in Cholin it applies to the mother animal and her son. We'll talk about in the Gemara over there whether it does ever apply to the father. In any case, the point is that, so if you have two animals, you have animal A, the mother gave birth to animal B, the baby, and now one of them was shechted, and now the Torah tells us you can't shecht the other one that same day. So now if animal B was kodshim, and if either one of them was kodshim, and he shechted one of them, and then later that same day he shechted the other one b'chutz. So that's one case. Another case would be where the animal is mechusar zman, where it's less than 8 days old and cannot yet be brought as a korban. So also potter. So he's also potter for offering them outside the azara for the same reason they're not roy lover with him. And again, Reb Shimon Omer HaRezeh B'loy Seseh, Reb Shimon says in those cases, I agree he's not chayev kares, but nevertheless says Reb Shimon he's going to be Ovan Aloy Seseh, because it would have been roy lover b'fnim after a while. Sher Reb Shimon Omer, because here's the general rule Reb Shimon says, kol shehu roy lover la'achazman, whenever it's capable of being brought after a while, whether we're talking about it had a temporary mum, whether we're talking about that it's an immature, that's an immature turtle dove, or whether we're talking about over here, oseves b'noi m'chosazman, either way, eventually it's going to be roy lover b'fnim, ha'reza b'loy seseh, then Reb Shimon holds, that is Oivan Aloy Seseh, but the aim by Koris, although he agrees that there's not Koris. We'll see in the Gemara in a couple of Dafim where he learns Aloy Seseh from. Vacham Merman, Kosh aim by Koris, aim by Aloy Seseh. Vacham say no, if there's no Koris, then there's no Aloy Seseh either. And therefore, not only, so he's certainly parted from Koris, even Reb Shimon agrees to that, but not only that, there's no Aloy Seseh either. So the Chum, in other words, are clarified, and the Rashash explains that the Tana of the Mishnah had said Potter, but he hadn't specified, does Potter mean he's Potter from Kodesh, but still Oivan Alav, or does it mean completely Potter? Reb Shimon holds it means Potter from Kodesh, but Chayev and Alav, but Oivan Alav, and then the Chachamim are answering Reb Shimon, that no, the original Tana, when he said Potter, meant Potter completely, and he's not even Oivan Alav. Next, the Mishnah says, what do we mean by mechusuzman? That means ben begufoy ben bebailov. That would mean when it's premature to bring this korban, whether the korban itself is immature, as we said, less than 8 days old, or whether the owner is not yet ready to bring the korban. So mechusuzman begufoy, we understand what that means. It means, in other words, that the baby animal is less than 8 days old and it's not yet. And it's not yet suitable for a korban. What does mechusuzman bebailov mean? Ezel mechusuzman bebailov means hazov vayaled esam etzera. Those are the four mechusrei kapara. Those are the four where the final stage of their kapara and the final stage of their tara involves bringing a korban. So those four, sheikruvu chatasim ba'asham abachutz, if they offer the chatas to the asham outside the azara, then they're going to be potter, and they do it before the time. So in other words, with each one of them, you have a certain time before which they cannot bring the korban. In the case of the zav, he has to have 7 clean days, and then he brings the korban on the 8th day. The zav are the same thing. The yeledes, if it's a boy, she has to wait till the 41st day. If it's a girl, the 81st day. A mitzvah has to wait until after his tara. He has to have the whole thing with the birds, and then the whole thing with the birds and the water from the beginning of parashas mitzvah. Then he has 7 days, and he shaves and so on and so forth, and then again on the 8th day he brings their kabanas. So all of them, if they offer their chatas or their oshem b'chutz p'turin, if they offer it before the time, then they're potter because it's not time for their chatas or their oshem yet. On the other hand, if they do their oilo or their shlomim outside, not all of them have an oilo or shlomim. Different ones among these four have different kabanas, but the point is all of them have an oila, and all of them have an oila. And the Masorah also has a shlomim. But we'll see in the Gemara, in fact, why it uses the expression shalmei en their shlomim, which would suggest that all of them bring shlomim, when in fact only the Masorah does. So we'll see in the Gemara, and for that matter, also about the Oshem as well. The Gemara is going to ask, was there an Oshem among any of these? But the point is, so if they offer the ones that were supposed, the chatos of the oshem b'chutz p'turim, because not the time yet, but are they saying shamein b'chutz chayavin? But if they do their oila or their shlomim outside, then they will be chayav because those could have been brought. Those don't have to be brought davka for a zav or zava, etc. Those can also be brought just voluntarily, and therefore he's chayav. Therefore they're chayav for bringing them prematurely because they would have been roi lover b'fnim, not to be mechaper for them as a zav, a zava, etc. But just stam as an oilas nedava or a shalmei nedava. Rashi points out, in the case of a yeledes, the difference is going to be, what is the oila? In the case of a zav or a zava, it's going to be a bird. In the case of a yeledes, it might be a bird, but it also might be an animal, depending whether she's rich or not. Okay. The Mishnah continues, Hamalim b'sar chatas, if a person offers outside the azara, the meat of the chatas, b'sar osham, or the meat of the osham, and these are things that are not meant to go on the mizbeach in the first place, as we learned a few times in the Masechta, that whenever you have a part of a korban, which is supposed to be offered on the mizbeach, then there's an issur on the rest of the korban to bring it on the mizbeach. So that applies to the chatas and the asham, mibsar kodshe kodshim, mibsar kodshim kalim, or any of the meat of any other kodshe kodshim, which would be specifically having the ola, obviously not, because the ola is completely burnt on the mizbeach. Chatas and asham, we already mentioned. So therefore, the kodshe kodshim that we've been talking about over here is the kivsei atzeres, the sheep that are brought on shavuos together with the shnei alechem. Or mibsar kodshim kalim, or the meat of kodshim kalim, any of the various types of kodshim kalim, or the leftover of the oimer, they take a koimetz from it and burn it on the mizbeach, and the rest of the oimer is eaten by the koyanim. But now, again, the rest of that oimer is not meant to be brought on the mizbeach. Or he offers the shteh lechem outside the azara, the lechem upon him. Or the lechem upon him, or shiorei menachos, or the leftovers of menachos after the koimetz was taken out. All of those things are not meant, lovei b'fnim, none of them are meant to go on the mizbeach, and therefore he's potter for those. Also, the Mishnah continues, v'hayotzik, and also, now, when it comes to a mincha, there's a number of preparatory things that need to be done before you come to the point of doing the kmitza. We'll learn about them in Menachos, Be'ez Hashem, but the Hayotzik, so he pours the oil into the container to mix with the flour. So that poisis, or when he has a mincha that's baked, where then it has to be broken up into pieces. Ba'boilol, or he mixes the mincha outside the azara, ba'amileach, or he puts salt on the komets or any other komonis, which have to be salted before they go on the mizbeach, ba'meinif, or if he waves the mincha outside the bais hamikdash. Magish, or if he touches it to the corner of a mizbeach, you're supposed to take the container with the klisharis containing the mincha and touch it to the southwestern corner of the mizbeach, and then you take the kmitza and then you continue from there. So all of those are not so essential to the korban, and they're not considered avodas that a person is chayev v'chutz, as we'll see in the Gemara. Or if he arranges the lachem aponim on a shulchan, if he makes a replica of the shulchan and puts the lachem aponim on it, or for that matter, if he takes the shulchan itself outside the azara and puts the lachem aponim on it, or he prepares the lamps of the menorah, again, either the original menorah or duplicate of it. In fact, Reb Velvel Brisker explains that we are talking about the actual mizbeach itself, or the actual shulchan, or the actual menorah. So it's true. If it were to be a duplicate shulchan or something, of course he'd be potter, because that's not even considered the shulchan, and so forth with the rest of them. Anyway, or if he does Kabbalah of the blood outside the Azara, Potter, in all those cases, he's Potter from Kares for reasons that we'll learn in the Gemara. And furthermore, the Mishnah points out, the Ein Chayavan Aleihem, furthermore, one is not going to be chayev for doing any of these things. Loi mishum zorus, not if a zor. Now, a zor is not supposed to do many of these things, but nevertheless, if he does them, he's not going to be chayev. He's not going to be chayev misvi deshemayim. Loi mishum tuma. If a kohen is tuma who does these things, he's also not going to be chayev koris for it. Because the point is, none of these are considered. All of these things, as we'll eventually learn in the Gemara, are not the type of avodas. There's only certain types of avodas for which a person is chayav kodesh and mitzvah spaceman, and either it has to be avoda tama, it has to be avoda she'en achre avoda, it has to be an avoda that there's no other avoda in that sequence after it, and where it's complete avoda in itself, and in this case you don't have all of that. So therefore, he's potter for those. If the kohen does it without the proper number of begodim, which we learned earlier in the Masech, that then his avoda is possible. Nevertheless, he's not chayev koris for it. Or if he didn't wash his hands and feet, and he did one of these things, then he's also not chayev misa b'dei shemayim. Because all of these things are it has to be avodas matana. It has to be first of all, Rashi brings from a Gemara in Yuma, it has to be an avoda that's putting something for Hashem, not taking away, such as for example taking away the ashes from the mizbeach, and also an avoda tama, complete avoda, not with yesh achre avoda, not where there's another avoda to yet be done in the same sequence after it, and all of these ones that we listed. Setting up the lachem upon him and mixing the mincha and breaking it up and so forth, they all have to have an avoda following them. So all those things, he's not chayiv for doing them outside, he's also not chayiv if a zor does it, or if a tomei, or mechusa begadim, etc. does it. This is not the primary place to discuss that point, but once we're mentioning that he's potter for them bachutz, then we're also mentioning this point. Okay, let's talk about the history of, says the Mishnah, let's talk about the history of when avoda was able to be done in different places. Ad shalai hukam ha-mishkan, before the Mishkan was set up, hoyu ha-bomus mutaris, bomus would have been mutar, you could have brought a korban to Hashem anywhere you want, and the ones who were doing the avoda were the bechorim of the Jewish people. They lost that privilege after the Chet Egel, but up until this point, the Medrash, in fact, goes into this and explains that, for example, Adar Marishan is the bechor of the entire world. Noach was a bechor. Avram, fine, he wasn't a bechor, but it was given to him because it was a tzaddik. Yaakov bought the bechorah from Esav, and he also brought a korban. So it goes through that actually, that that uh, So it goes through, it was always in the Bechorim. Famously, we say they lost it because of the Chet Egel, although the Ozerua points out on Mishnah seems to be saying that it's until the Mishkan was built. And the answer is that actually he says that the Ozerua learns the Bechorim of the rest of the Shvatim became possible right after the Chet Egel because they worshipped Avodah Zarah. But the Bechorim and the Levim were still the ones doing the Korbanos until the Mishkan was built, and then it became... And it would mean all Bechorim, whether they're from Aaron's descendants or not, after the Mishkan was built, it's reserved for the descendants of Aaron. So the Mishnah continues, Umishahukama Mishkan, once the Mishkan was set up, Nesra Bomas, Bomas become Osir, now you want to bring a Korban, you have to dafka do it in the Bais HaMikdash, Va'avodah B'Kohenim, and the Avodah is being done only by the Kohenim. Rashi makes the point, because at that point, Moshe tells Aaron, Krav al HaMizbeach, come close to the Mizbeach. So therefore, at that point, it goes away from the other Bechorim and goes only to Aaron and his sons. Now what happens as far as the eating of korbanos? Kodshe kodshim necholim lefnim min akloim, kodshe kodshim chatas osham zivche shamet zibur, etc. Are menachos are eaten lefnim min akloim? They're eaten inside the curtains of the azara. Kodshim kavim, b'chol machne Yisrael, kodshim kavim could be eaten anywhere in the camp of the Jewish people. Bola Gilgal, now they crossed the Yarden, they came to Gilgal and set up the Mishkan over there. At that point, Hutra Bamos, at that point, Bamos become Mutter, because they didn't have the Oren together with the Mishkan, they would take it with them wherever they went to war. So now, private Bamos become Mutter for the next few years, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, the details of how we learn all of this. So now people are allowed to have private bombers. Now, kodshe kodshim nachol lefnim naklaim, kodshe kodshim, those would not be brought on a private bomber, those would be brought dafka and Gilgal. They still have to be eaten within the curtains of the Mishkan. Kodshim kalim, b'chol makom, kodshim kalim could be offered and eaten in any place. And you don't have a machna at that point. So Rashi points out now an oila could be brought on a bama kana, but you don't eat it. So and a chatas and an osham you only bring on the bama tzibur, and those on the bama gdola, and those are going to be eaten only the finim and akloim. But once they're scattered all over Eretz Yisrael, conquering and dividing Eretz Yisrael, so now they're not camped around the Mishkan, so there's no machne Yisrael. Rashi points out later in the Mishnah, it's going to mention what happens with Ma'aser Sheni. Here, the Mishnah doesn't mention it because at the point when they're in Gilgal, when the Mishkan is in Gilgal, there's no Ma'aser Sheni yet. Ma'aser Sheni begin, the dinim of Trumas and Ma'asers begin only once they conquer and settle Eretz Yisrael. So at that point, though, all you have, the only thing that we can talk about that would normally be eaten in the Machne, would be Kodshim Kalim, when we're saying there's no Machne anymore and they can be eaten anywhere where Jews are. Next, Bo L'Shiloi, then they came to Shiloi and set up the Mishkan over there. And Nesra Bomas, at that point, Bomas become Osir. V'loi Hayosh, and now you should know, how was the Mishkan in Shiloi built? V'loi Hayosham Tikra, there was no roof over there. Ela Beis Avonim B'Lavad Milamatan, there was a stone house, there was stone walls on the bottom, the Hayurias Milamailon, and the curtains of the Mishkan were spread out above them. So it was kind of a hybrid. So the Yerushalmi actually mentions an interesting idea. They had low stone walls, and then they put the kroshim of the Mishkan above them. But from the Bavli doesn't mention such a thing, and neither does the Rambam. It implies that the entire height of the walls was stone, and only the curtains were the curtains of the Mishkan. Now that's a semi-permanent place for the Mishkan, and the Oren is there. This is what the Torah refers to as Menucha, the resting place. And the Torah says that when you're in Menucha, then you can't bring Korbanos anywhere. So therefore, Kodshim, Kodshim, Nechol, Lefinim, and Akoyim, Kodshim, Kodshim are still eaten within the curtains of the Mishkan, but Kodshim, Kalam, Maisesheni, Mechol, Oroya, Kodshim, Kalam, Maisesheni can be eaten in any place from which you can see the Mishkan and Shiloh, as we'll learn from the Gemara, as we'll learn in the Gemara from Sukkim. Next, Bol and Noivel Givon. Eventually, the Oren was captured and the Mishkan and Shiloh was destroyed. mind you, the pasuk actually doesn't tell us in Shmuel, doesn't say the Mishkan and Shiloh was destroyed. It talks about how the Aron was captured, many Jews were killed in battle, eventually the Plishtim were forced to return the Aron to the Jewish people. In any case, the point is, it doesn't actually say there in the Pesukim that the Mishkan and Shiloh was destroyed. What it says is, much later, Yirmiyah tells the Jewish people of his times, That you think that this Mikdash can't be destroyed because of your Averis, go to Shiloh, and you'll see that Shiloh was destroyed because of the Averis of them, and the same thing could happen to the Beis Mikdash if you don't do Tshuva. So we see that Shiloh was in fact destroyed, even though it doesn't tell about it in Sefer Shmuel. So once Shiloh was destroyed, they moved the Mishkan to Noiv, and then later on, Noiv was destroyed when Shaul was paranoid and thought that the Kohanim of Noiv were in cahoots with David, then he ordered all of them killed, and then the Mishkan was moved to another place called Givon. So all of those things, Hutra Bamos. So then Bamos become Mutter because the Aron is not together with the Mishkan. First the Aron was by the Plishtim, later on it was in Kiras Yarim, later it was brought to Yerushalayim, but it wasn't in either of these places in Noiv and Givon. Therefore, Hutra Bamos are now Mutter, Kodshe Kodshim Nechon Lefinim and Akoim, Kodshe Kodshim still have the same rule as before that they have to be eaten within the curtains of the Azara, the Kodshim Kalim Bechol Ore Yisrael, Kodshim Kalim again can be offered on private bummers, and Maaser Sheni for that matter can be eaten in all Jewish cities, because now you can bring korbanos wherever you want. An interesting point, actually, an interesting nuance in the wording of the Mishnah is when it came to Gilgal, it said b'chol makom, whereas here it says the expression that b'chol orei Yisrael, in all the cities of the Jewish people. But Amman points out, during Gilgal, they didn't yet have Jewish cities, they were busy conquering. Now, when it's not even given, it's hundreds of years after the conquest, they have Jewish cities all over Eretz Yisrael, therefore we can speak of Jewish cities. So Bamos and Mutter during that time, Boli Yerushalayim, and on the side over here it says, which should say Umay Sushani as well. So not just Kodesh Kavim, Umay Sushani could be in any cities of the Jewish people. Then Boli Yerushalayim, they come to Yerushalayim and build the Beis Mikdash, Nesra Bamos, then Bamos become Osir, V'loi Hoyolahen Heter, there was no longer any Heter for Bamos ever again, V'hi Hoysan Nachla, Yerushalayim is what's called in the Pasuk Nachla, the final inheritance of the Jewish people. This is what the Pasuk says in A, that you haven't yet come, Ela Menucha Ve'ela Nachla, implying that there's two separate things, Menucha and Nachla. So Menucha, we said with Shiloh, Nachla means Yerushalayim. We'll learn later in the Perek, the Gemara will point out different other opinions of how to learn the Pesukim, but anyway. So therefore, Kodshim Kodshim Nechol Mefinim and Akloim, Kodshim Kodshim had to be eaten as usual within the Kloim. Now it's not Kloim anymore, now it's the actual walls of the Azara. The Kodshim Kalam Maisesheni Mefinim and Akloim, Kodshim Kalam and Maisesheni can be eaten only inside the wall of Yerushalayim, not like by Shiloh, where they could eat them wherever they could see the Mishkan and Shiloh from. We'll learn in the Gemara why that distinction. Okay, so we'll finish up the Mishnah and start on the Gemara tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem.